Previously on Gus Tulip, Private Dick.
Chucky Oysters met Ricky Biscuits at the notorious Broken Soul Manor Orphanage. After years of manual labor, they finally made a daring escape, overcoming many obstacles, including the Snortus. Out in the real world, the struggle continued, but they built a successful events and entertainment business along with Delilah Cola,
who they both fell in love with.
Leaving their old lives behind, they started fresh as Diggermet and Vector Vane. Things were going well and the money was rushing in, but everything was about to change. The end was approaching, and Diggermet had no clue. Now, hope you're ready for Origins Part 2. On a sunny Monday morning, a man awoke in a pumpkin patch on the edge of town with 5 missing teeth, wearing only a diaper and Viking helmet. He'd been in and out of hallucinatory delirium for over a week. No doubt drugged by a powerful concoction of substances, though he did not remember how or when. The man's name was Diggermet, and this is still that story. In the city, Vector Vane and Delilah Cola were nowhere to be found. The office had been deserted, with all equipment and furniture removed, and dicks drawn all over the walls. But that was only the beginning. His car had been filled with dead toads and rotten guavas, and the contents of his shampoo bottles replaced with bat guano. His DVR had been erased and reset to only tape high school soccer matches and shows depicting close-ups of liposuction procedures. But worst of all, he had somehow been entirely written out of the company, with no more signing rights over any of the bank accounts. Overnight, he had been made redundant.
Bankrupt!
They had done it to him. Delilah, the woman he had fallen for, and Ricky, or rather Vector, his best and only friend, and the person he trusted and loved like no other. This was a brutal and treacherous betrayal. And so, with nothing left to stick around for, no job, friend, woman, or assets, Diggermet left town and began a life as a nomad, prophet, addict, buffoon. And thus he wandered the deserts, arcades, and strip malls of the world, empty in spirit and unsound of mind. To get by, he sold wobbly wheelbarrows and scoured beaches for scrap metal.
Yo man, what's up?
911, what's your emergency?
What are you looking at?
He moved between flop houses, opium dens, and squats.
Yo, what's up?
Shut up!
And for a time, lived in a tent in the woods, eating berries and wrestling bears. For years, his life limped on without meaning or logic, fueled only on drugs, kimchi, and self-loathing. Till one day, while feeding the rats in the sewer behind the bridge, a thought burrowed through Digger's mind and took root in the swampy depths of his brain, then grew into a purpose that would drive him onwards. That purpose was revenge. He wanted to find Ricky and Delilah. Oh yes. And when he did, he wanted to kill them. He reinvented himself as Rufus Nails, Private Eye, renting a small office above a vegan, gluten-free mini cupcake shop and taking cases. Kidnapping pet iguanas. Framing the exes of jilted lovers. Assisting in insurance fraud. But it was really just a front for the research he was doing. Combing through records, following leads, checking out tips, chips, and dips. In an effort to remain anonymous while tracking his nemesis, he relocated again, altering his identity once more. As Jensen Cake, Private Dick, working out of a back room in a bowling alley, he took on new cases. Recuperating sex tapes. Extorting confessions from priests. Blackmailing blacksmiths. All the while learning more about his target. And much he did discover. Boy. And now, to speed things up and add a touch of class to this 2-bit production, here to summarize Jensen Cake's findings, a former deeply undercover agent, an icon of culture and spectacular mistrust,
a man who was once so constipated he had to have the nuggets removed by laser.
Please welcome.
Please welcome.
Fresh up a killer, 92 week stint in the booming cruise ship entertainment space.
Friend of the show.
And our guest presenter today.
Please welcome.
Get ready, here we go. News updates.
The Reverend, the Governor, what? The Shoreditch Marauder, the Goose Vindicator, what? The Hottest Potato, what? The Crisis Averter, the Army Deserter, the Deep Sea Mad Hatter, no need to stutter.
The headlines.
The one and the one only, the own and the only, the right and the wrongly, may sing him a songly.
Here we go.
News.
The one and the one only, Sir Declan Mopper.
Sit down, be quiet.
Shh. Thank you for that very hype and over-the-top introduction. Now do pay attention, I have the information. Vector Vane, once Ricky Biscuits, had immediately sold the other successful events business he and Digimet had built together and used the cash to fund various new ventures. In fact, in the years since the Great Betrayal... Vector had been playing the chameleon game too, changing name, look, habits, and line of work repeatedly, ever building his shadow network. As Galapagos Bolay, he and Delilah had run various ventures of questionable integrity, including escape rooms for octopuses as a betting sport, and renting shorts and flip-flops to people who had packed poorly for tropical holidays.
Do you have a size 34 slim cut?
As Stinger Bane, he had put the skills picked up at Broken Soul Manor to good use, running factories that processed a type of stinky beetle into personal lubricant for sumo wrestlers, and milked blind newts for an essential element in cheap spray paint. Now, around that time, Delilah Cola died in a freak acupuncture accident. Stinger Bane took it badly. With no one left to anchor him to consequence, he dove headlong into a life of violent crime, both organized and gratuitous, laying waste to adversaries and slaughtering foes. He developed the habit of disemboweling them, writing haikus in the dirt with their strung-out intestines and taking artsy helicopter shots of each new death poem from above. There were rumors that after one particularly extensive killing spree, he had eviscerated so many people that he was able to write a full short story with their guts. It was about a retired federal judge learning to love again by moving to the country and starting a ragtime band, and had apparently been very well received by critic and public alike. And so, as his legend grew, he developed nicknames.
The Blood Poet.
Gutslinger.
Butcher of Poppy.
There were rumors that he was changing physically too, that one could now smell on him the rancid musk of spent potpourri as a hint of what never was or ever could be. His right eye went milky, his left eye turned black, and mushrooms had begun sprouting in his pits.
Mostly chanterelles and king trumpet, but the occasional morel too.
That he'd grown 2 extra toes on each foot, scales on his back, and had to shed his dick skin twice a year, the way snakes shed theirs. I mean, their entire skins, like from their whole body, not only their dick skins. I can see how the wording might have been confusing. Wait, not that snakes have dick skins. They don't have dick skins, do they?
Cut!
Bane was into geriatric prostitutes, bare-knuckle boxing, and injecting himself with salmonella for fun. He developed a taste for spoiled pudding topped with raw diced garlic and had a pet marabou stalk that was into flower arrangements. They said he recalled a guy taking a difficult shit on the lawn at the funeral, or a dude with dried out deli sushi on the counters of his soul, but it was hard to separate rumor from fact. One thing was certain. The man kept killing, eliminating, growing, and diversifying his operations till Stinger Bane dissolved into the night and out of sight, and emerging in his place through the toxic vapors of murder, corruption, and greed. Ow, please! Stood supervillain Stinko Fist!
Thank you to the Reverend, the Governor, the one and the one only Declan Moper.
What?
Thank you, sir. But let's pause here for a second to pay the bills, because today's episode is brought to you by... Mobile Family Holiday Meals. Mobile Family Holiday Meals. We recreate holiday lunches and dinners with extended family, bringing the essence of their drama and dysfunction right into your kitchen, dining room, and living room any day of the year. We're talking spilled soup, burnt potatoes, and broken glass. Disillusion, disquiet, and drunk uncles. Passive aggressiveness, guilt trips, and exquisite backhanded compliments, all woven into a rich tapestry with must-have elements, crying, screaming, seething resentment, and accusations of molestation.
God's sake.
Mobile Family Holiday Meals, serving up dysfunction 365 days a year. Okay, we are back. Anyway, Stinko Fist had become a criminal mastermind of great power and considerable stench.
Ew, yuck.
Humble sleuth Jensen Cake kept tracking him, looking for a way, a time, and place to exact his revenge. But it would not be easy. By now, a hand-picked security detail of monsters and mercenaries protected Stinko 24/7. And boy, were they a ruthless bunch. There was his right-hand man, Aspara Gustav. A gigantic Swede with a chainsaw for a hand and really smelly pee. There was the Scum Bison, who had once died and been brought back to life by having his DNA spliced with that of a buffalo. He grew a fine set of horns, and Stinko sometimes used his milk for mozzarella. May Maggots could commune with vermin, and her cousin, Possum Plague, could inflict pestilence by touch alone, leaving you to die slowly and painfully in a puddle of your own stinking filth. They all lived together in a state-of-the-art secure complex where Stinko's pet stork, Hyacinth, relentlessly patrolled the perimeter, dotting the land with huge wet, white and green shits and looking for eyes to peck out. This unsavory gang never lets Stinko out of sight, making him almost impossible to get to. In fact, There was only one occasion when Fist ever let his guard down, and so was vulnerable. Jensen Cake learned, through his incessant snooping, that Fist had buried Delilah Cola in a remote jungle location and planted a fast-growing sacred tree above her to enshrine her in its roots.
As one does.
On the third Thursday of every other month, Stinko went to this secret spot on his own to sit and think, listen loudly to a special One Direction playlist on his headphones, drink martinis dirty as swamp water, and mourn, raw and alone, totally exposed and unprotected. This is where Jensen Cake would make his move. This is where he would exact his revenge. Here, Fist and Cola would reunite in death! Operation Thundergoat consumed all Jensen's time and effort. He spent months on meticulous planning, using burner phones and fake IDs, paying, sucking, and finishing people off, stepping on toes and busting skulls till everything was aligned. Then, on a savage Tuesday at dawn, he set off in his 96 Avenger to avenge a decade of deceit and betrayal.
Betrayal.
To set his trap and kill his once best friend. His plans were tight, and the passage was easy. He'd bought intel from a blind taxidermist on a motorized scooter about a secret tunnel straight into the belly of this hidden sanctuary, and now followed the crayon-drawn map to access its concealed entrance in an old coal mine. The tunnel was long, dark, slimy, stinky, often narrow, and generally unpleasant, but driven by the promise of pristine vengeance, Jensen paid no mind as he walked, climbed, crawled, and slithered his way through to the other side. It spat him out in the gut of a lush shaded valley where a stream sweetly flowed into a crystal clear pool. It was picturesque and a fitting place for murder. For there, not 20 yards off, was Stinko Fist kneeling shirtless in the sand, headphones on and facing away, vulnerable as a newborn unicorn. Stinko came to this sacred place to sit with his loss, and he always came alone. Now, poetically, serendipitously, the two of them were alone together in this mystical place, and here it would be done. They were the only two players in this epic cosmic narrative. The only two... Wait a minute! What was this? How could it be? Aspara Gustav? Yes, indeed, it was he! In one swift and deliberate movement, the giant Swede stepped out from behind a boulder, started up his chainsaw, and decapitated Stinko Fist. Chopped that big old head right off! It rolled along the ground, mouth open, completing a most explicit assassination. And Jensen Cake had a front row seat. Stinko Fist was dead by the hand of another. Revenge snatched away and forever unfulfilled. Rendered purposeless once more, what would become of Jensen Cake now? Find out next time when we follow the stale breadcrumbs to pick up the main plotline again. In the meantime, do check out Canterloop's other audio project, Spam Jam Radio, 5-minute jams for short attention spans, at spamjamradio.com or wherever you get your podcasts. This has been a Canterloop production. Thanks for listening.